If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 10 to 14, and then we'll focus in on the first half of verse 14. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." I mean, this is God's Word, holy, inerrant, inspired, our only rule for faith and practice. The notion of total war was introduced to the civilized world in the 19th century. And it was introduced by the United States armies as they sought to suppress an attempt at Southern independence. Up until that point, the wars were fought differently. Up until that point, wars were fought with certain, at least in civilized countries, wars were fought with rules of engagement, that you only fought against enemy combatants. Well, all that changed under the administration of the American president and his generals during the war to prevent Southern independence. Tactics changed, and enemy armies were targeted, but so were the families. And so you had wives and mothers and children who are also targeted. In total war, what you want to do is break the will of your enemy so that they have nothing left to fight with. So you want to take away every capacity they have to fight back. And if you're committed to total war, that means not only fighting against the soldiers, but fighting against the society and the culture. And so what they would do is they would march through and anything that could be used to sustain the population, not just sustain the army, but sustain the population, was taken away or burned. Total war introduced to the civilized world in the 1860s. That is the sort of war Satan wages against God and His church. A war where He spares no effort and He wastes no energy in seeking to wipe out the cause of Christ and His people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. His rule has dominion against the authorities. This is a rule of power. He exercises power over the minds of men, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. How would you describe this present darkness? We are living in a world of ignorance and sin. Satan is the author of that ignorance and sin. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. His kingdom has the high ground when it comes to human nature. They've been around longer. The demons have existed longer. They know they're older. And they've had many, many centuries of practice. Is it any wonder, Paul says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day? And we spoke last week about the evil day, about the schemes of the devil, that there are particular seasons, there are particular persons which Satan will target in his total war to wipe out God and his people. And we talked about several of those schemes and devices. Verse 14, stand therefore. It's a call to armed resistance. Stand, he's not saying just, you know, like you'd line up for a family portrait and you'd say to the children, why don't y'all stand over there and, you know, look pretty. That's a little different. That's a totally different situation. This is a military call to stand armed resistance. Stand, therefore. Why? Why are you and I called to stand? Why are we called to armed resistance? Why ought we hear this tonight? Well, because it's commanded. And commands are there for a reason. Commands are put in the Bible to be heard, to be received, and to be obeyed. We stand because we're commanded to. Why are we supposed to do it? Well, because he said so. Stand, therefore. We also stand because we're provided with armor with which to stand. Having fastened on the belt of truth. The Apostle Paul is about to go through piece by piece and provide you with this litany of spiritual armor. And all it is, y'all, all these pieces are specific descriptions of your relationship with Christ. You put on the armor of God. When you put on armor, you are putting on Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans 13. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put Him on. The way he puts it in Galatians 3. Those of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you put on spiritual armor, you are putting on Jesus. What do we talk about tonight about all the privileges that we enjoy as members of the invisible church? We enjoy union and communion with Him in grace and glory. We put on this Christ. And you're called to stand. Now, you'll notice as we go through piece by piece, there is no armor for the back. There's only armor for the front. This armor is given so that you would resist. So that you would resist the enemy head on. There's no provision here for retreat. There's no encouragement of cowardice. It's a call to fight. You know, it was said that when the Normans invaded England, the Norman conqueror sent the ships away so that his soldiers would stand and fight and not run from the battle. Y'all, this armor is provided for you so that you would stand and resist. Let me ask y'all a question. Why do you think the Lord Jesus, as the King and head of His church, why did He set up the ministry the way He did? Let me ask it a different way. We believe the Holy Spirit's ministry is a ministry of the Word. It is a ministry of Christ. The Holy Spirit's work is to show you the things of Jesus. To shine the light on Christ so that you can see Him in all His beauty, see Him in His person and His work. Why? Why is the Holy Spirit's ministry revolving around the Word? Why would we place so much emphasis on the reading and the preaching and the praying and singing of the Word? Y'all, I want you to know. We place emphasis on the Word because The Christian ministry exists to equip and to train you for survival in this battle. That's why the ministry of the Word is sent forth, to train you to survive the armed resistance. That there is a goal for the Christian life, and the goal is that you would be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that you would stand having fastened on the belt of truth, that you would be equipped for this particular course. Jesus has marked out the course. This is a race which He has already mapped out for you. And the ministry of the Word exists. Paul's letter to the Ephesians exists to equip these Ephesians and to equip you to run your course. And to run it well. To run it with strength. There's a great image from A Pilgrim's Progress. And a Christian has been given this armor. And he's on his way to the celestial city, and he's been given piece by piece the armor which Paul describes here. And he's not quite sure why he's given the armor until he meets with Apollyon. Apollyon the destroyer. And Christian, clad with the armor of Christ, he realizes there's no armor for my back. My only hope of survival is to stand and fight. You know, you have an enemy, and he wants to divert you from your course. He wants to see you fail. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to equip you against his schemes. In verse 14, we stand having fastened on the belt of truth. Paul is writing this letter from prison, and he is perhaps sitting here in his prison cell, and he sees the Roman legionary, sees the Roman soldier, and he's equipped with his armor. And one of the pieces which Paul sees is this belt, or another description might be a long leather apron. Not the sort of kitchen apron you'd wear, but a leather apron for battle. An apron to protect your midsection in the midst of the fighting. It's a belt worn for covering and protection and for ease of movement. And Paul's saying, I want you to fasten on, he's speaking to the Ephesians, I want you to put forth some effort to fasten on the belt of truth. Well, the way Peter would put it in Peter's letter, 1 Peter 1, 13, prepare your minds for action. It's the same notion, actually the same word that's used. Prepare or fasten your minds for action. So we're putting on the belt of truth. We're preparing our minds with truth. The way Jesus would put it in Luke 12, 35, stay dressed for action. So that the Christian life, the way Paul describes it, what he's describing here is an offensive stance. It is an aggressive stance. It is not a passive stance at all. That's not a part of Paul's approach to the Christian life. It is putting forth effort, having fastened on the belt of truth. So that there is this clear definition of strong, healthy, biblical Christianity. What does strong, healthy Christianity look like? Well, it looks like this man or woman fastening on the belt of truth. Truth that's understood. Truth that is embraced. Truth that is believed. Y'all, what makes for a strong, healthy Christian? A strong, healthy Christian has a clear understanding and a strong will. a clear understanding of the truth and a strong will to walk in that truth. And so then the question comes up, well, how do you fasten it on? What is Paul talking about? You fasten on the belt of truth. How do you do that in practice? If Paul is training us, if he is equipping us for survival in this armed resistance, how do we fasten on the belt of truth? Now, I want to say three things. I want to say, first of all, truth must be sharpened. This is in our understanding of the truth and our reception of it and our embrace of it. Truth must be sharpened. Our understanding of truth must be sharpened and honed. We don't want to be vague. We want to be clear. As you and I are heralds of the cross, as you and I are using our lives for kingdom purposes, using our lives for evangelistic witness, y'all, we want to be clear about what the gospel is. And we want to lovingly and yet firmly teach people that gospel. We're called to be witnesses. And the only effective witness is one who has a clear understanding of what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false. You know, we ought to, if we have some hazy understandings of things, that's good. It's good for us to recognize that we have some hazy understandings, because that shows us where we need to learn. That shows us where we need to grow. And we want to be growing Christians. So we fasten on the belt of truth. Truth must be sharpened. We want to sharpen our understanding so we have a precise understanding of what God is telling us in the gospel. Why do we want to sharpen our understanding? Because false doctrine kills. False doctrine is not something to be messed with. It matters what you believe. It matters the way you live. You know the way Paul describes sound doctrine in the New Testament? He actually uses the word healthy. Now, in our English translations, it's translated as sound doctrine. But it's actually, if you look at the original word, it's actually healthy. And Paul wants to promote healthy doctrine, healthy Christian living, which implies that there is an unhealthy, there is a destructive way to live as professing Christians. Y'all, false doctrine kills. You get an understanding in your mind about the gospel, which says that if you're just a nice person and you come to church every now and then, you're okay. That is a false doctrine that kills. You get the notion in your mind that we are saved by, you name it, our reputation, how much we've done for God, hoping that our good deeds outweigh the bad. Y'all, you get that notion in your mind, that is a killing doctrine. You get your notion, this notion into your mind that once we're saved, we're safe and we don't have to worry about living for God's glory anymore. We're saved. I've got my fire insurance and that's all I have to worry about. I can now live however I want to live. Y'all, that is a false killing doctrine. A false doctrine kills, and it's so subtle. You know, it's like we were saying last week. Satan, he runs an end around. It's a double reverse to get you to fall for his schemes. It is so subtle. And your understanding affects the whole man. The way you think affects the way you live and the way you speak. And so this truth, this sharpening of truth, it affects your whole being. So what do we want to do? We want to love truth for truth's sake. We want to seek what God has said about things. We want to ask the question, what saith the Scriptures? What has God said? That is our first and foremost question. Let's go back to that question from earlier this morning. If the question comes up, if there is a conflict in your mind between what God has said and what man has said, who gets the nod? Y'all, the Christian lives in such a way that the nod goes toward God's Word and what He has commanded. That's the way we live. Regardless of the circumstances, the Christian lives in obedience to what God has said, fastening on the belt of truth. We want to sharpen our understanding of truth by seeking the truth. Y'all, we want to know. We have questions. We want to know what God has said in His Word. So we want to seek the truth. Y'all, that's why we want to attend the ministry of the Word. That's why we want to be under the preaching of the Word. That's why we want to be in spiritual conversation. That's why we want to be exposed to as much of the Bible as we possibly can. Because we want to have the mind of Christ on these things. We want to know what Jesus has said. What ought we do? What ought we believe? We want to sharpen. Secondly, a truth must not only be sharpened, it also needs to be declared. So truth is sharpened, and then truth is declared. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now back in the day, when people would fasten on their belt, that meant they were going somewhere. In the first century, they had their long, flowing garments. And if you're just sitting around the house, you don't need a belt on. You just walk around. You do whatever you need to do. When you want to go somewhere, say you're going to the store, you're going on a trip, what are you going to do? You're going to put on a belt. You're going to fasten on your belt. Paul is saying, Christian, you're going somewhere. Fasten on the belt of truth. Truth needs to be declared. It needs to be publicly acknowledged in a public manner. So we need a bold profession of faith. Y'all, isn't this what we're called to do? Despite what the world tells you, the world will tell you your faith is your own. Keep it that way. You have your beliefs about Jesus. I don't want to know, and neither does anybody else. They will tell you to keep your faith to yourself. The Apostle Paul does not allow us to think that way. This is a call to armed resistance. This is a call to go somewhere. It is a bold profession of faith. I want to read to you. What does Paul say to Timothy? I want to read to you what Paul says to Timothy. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verses 11 and 12. And he says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness." What does a Christian look like? There you have some fruits. "Fight the good fight of the faith." You can almost hear echoes of Ephesians 6 here, can't you? "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Timothy had confessed publicly. He had professed the truth. Truth, if we fasten it on, is going to be publicly declared. Christians have a public witness. Christians have a responsibility to carry this word of life. Y'all, do you believe that you have this word of life? I mean, do you believe that the Bible that the message of the Bible actually saves. Do you believe that? Or is it just a part of our cultural scene? It's just something we do. It's just something we have on the shelf. Y'all, if the message of the Bible is actually a saving message, and we turn on the news and we see that our world is being lost, y'all, what option do you have? You have no other option but to speak of what you have seen and heard. And what have you seen and heard? You have seen Christ. You have heard His Word. And so you fasten on the belt of truth to declare His truth. This means you be open with what you believe. This means we want to be honest and forthcoming with what we believe about important things. What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about hell? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about marriage? What do you believe about the pressing issues? You know, we be open. Why? Because truth is committed to you, the Christian. It's the good deposit. It's the treasure which God has placed in your hand for safekeeping. What does Paul tell Timothy? Guard the good deposit which has been entrusted to you. Now, what's that deposit? It is the Word. It is the truth. We fasten on the belt of truth. We declare truth because we've been entrusted with it. If I've been entrusted with something precious, I want to take care of it. We pray for a heart of love for the truth. God, would you give us strong-hearted desires for the truth? Would you give us a love for the truth? God, our hearts are cold towards your truth. Unwilling to submit to the law of God. Indeed, impossible to submit to the law of God. Lord, would you melt my heart before your throne? Would you give me a desire for your truth? You know, that's the only way. It has to be a heart thing. That's the only way you and I come to a public declaration of the truth, where we're open about what we believe. Are you willing? I asked this question one way this morning. I'm going to ask it a different way tonight. Are you willing to make this declaration when it hurts your reputation? Are you willing to fasten on the belt of truth when it is unpopular? Are you willing to state what you believe about God's law, about God's Son, about God's day, about God's gospel, about God's Word? Are you willing to state and to live publicly what you believe? Y'all, that's what we're called to do. God has given us this infectious love for His truth, and we can't help but speak of what we've seen and heard. Oh, we pray for our hearts to be conformed to this truth, like a hand in a glove, that our hearts would fit, would be conformed to this mold. And that we'd be fired with a love for God. Y'all, truth needs to be sharpened. Truth also needs to be declared. You declare it to your neighbors. You declare it to your friends, to your family. Are you willing to do those things? We fasten on the belt of truth. I was reading a sermon by a 16th century pastor and reformer, John Calvin. And y'all, I'll tell you what. Calvin's sermons on Acts and Ephesians have fed my soul. One of the things that Calvin said about the mission of the church, this was in a different part of Acts. One of the things Calvin said was that the church has this responsibility to publicly declare this truth so that others are added to the church. That we don't want to rest satisfied with what we've got. Calvin had this bold, aggressive, persistent faith, and he wanted to see the knowledge of the glory of Christ cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. He wanted to see every corner of Geneva ringing with the glory of Christ. And now he would urge these people, proclaim, declare, make public your faith, your zeal for Christ and His kingdom. Make it known, y'all. Make it known wherever you go. And don't keep it a secret. Some things need to be kept secrets. This doesn't need to be kept a secret. Truth is going to be sharpened, and truth needs to be declared. A bold profession. And third and finally, I want you to see that truth must be used. Truth must be sharpened, must be declared, and it must be used. Having fastened on the belt of truth, a Roman legionary's belt would be used for protection and for ease of movement in the battle. It helped him move quickly from point to point. In some cases, it would even be used to hold his sword. I want you to know that the truth of Jesus has got to be used. Doesn't matter if you know how to drive a car if you don't get behind the wheel. The truth of Christ needs to be used. When the schemes of the devil are laid for you, when he is laying his snares, when his assaults are coming one after another, what do you do? Do you yield or do you resist? You know, one of the best examples we have in all the Bible of this is when our Lord is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Here's Jesus, and he's tempted. In the wilderness, he has spent 40 days praying and fasting. And at the end of those 40 days, Satan comes up to him. And he gives him one temptation after another. How does Jesus meet the schemes of the devil? He meets the schemes with the truth of Scripture. And Satan's temptations are so subtle, aren't they? He just slips them under the door. He'll even use a kernel of truth. Like we were saying last week, he will even use a kernel of truth. Satan will use different parts of the Bible. What did he do? He ripped some scripture out of context and sought to divert Christ from his mission. What did Jesus do in response? He fought Satan's schemes with the right interpretation of Scripture. Having fastened on the belt of truth. The question is, what does the Scripture say? When Satan, in his schemes, seeks to ensnare a young Christian, how should that young Christian fight back? You ask, what does the Scripture say? When you're tempted to wander off into idle speculations, like you're tempted with a wandering eye, you're tempted with all sorts of snares, the question is, what does the Scripture say? You know, this, what Paul lays out here is a vision for strong, healthy Christianity. I mean the type of Christianity that moves and shakes nations. the type of Christianity that shakes up people's lives and cultures. This is a movement, y'all. Christianity was a movement that shook nations, moved empires. This is the sort of life. This is the sort of Christianity that did it. This is not passive. This is not spectator Christianity. This is not nominal Christianity. This is the real deal. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we would seek you tonight and confess that we are naturally weak and unstable as water. Lord, we confess to you that we need your help. Lord, we confess that we need for you to strengthen our arms. Oh, Lord Christ, we would long to be clothed with your person and work. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would enable us to put on Christ. Oh, that we would die and that our life would be hidden with Christ in God. Lord, would you hear us tonight? Would you send us out as your ambassadors, as your heralds? Give us to fasten on the belt of truth. Lord, let us never rest until we have sharpened convictions. Lord, give us the courage to declare those convictions and give us to use the truth of the Word against Satan's snares. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.